Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups, or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. All right, Startup Dentist crew, welcome back. Not too long ago, so I had a vision call about a week or so ago with one of our clients, and her story went a little bit like this, and maybe it sounds like yours. She actually said, I had been looking off and on for almost 6 years to find a practice to purchase before she said, and she had her friends and like people around her to say, you could do this. You could do a startup. So if you're that dentist that's been like looking for practices, looking for that perfect opportunity, really looking at yourself and say, maybe a startup is the right path. You know, what is your timeline of becoming a practice owner? So not too long ago, I had a discussion with Brian Hanks. He is the Dentist Buyers Advocates, where we talk about acquisitions and startups, the pros and cons. So check out that episode. If you're that dentist that's like, I'm not quite sure what the right path is, maybe you've been looking for a practice, check out that episode. You get like both sides of the coin of ownership from startup and acquisition. So check that out. Today, I have a really special guest. Today, we're going to talk about like the experience of becoming a practice owner from somebody that is living it, that has done it, and is doing it really, really well. So grab your notepad and let's make that dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. So, all right, folks, I have the fortunate opportunity to work with so many great dentists. I've been doing this for over 2 decades and almost 1,000 dentists that I've worked with. And today I have a special guest. Today joining me is Dr. Rachel Eaglash. And Dr. Rachel has formed Eaglash Dental Studio back home in PA. She had worked with Ideal Practices team. And I love the fact that what she has accomplished, not only for herself and her family, but what she does to serve her community. And I wanted to share her story and bring her on here today. So, Dr. Rachel, welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you, Steve. Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Super excited to be able to share the story. Not only has Dr. Rachel have achieved something great, but she'll have some other, we'll talk about some legacy things, maybe some family elements inside of the practice. She says she's warming up. She said she's got her coffee. She's in Pennsylvania. She said it's getting a little cold up there. And having been a former Pennsylvanian myself, I know what happens this time of the fall. So super, super excited. So Dr. Rachel, just tell the audience a little bit about you, your practice, that maybe even a little bit of that journey of becoming a practice owner, if you would. And I think you'll give some great insights here.
Absolutely. I'm a general dentist who graduated from University of Pittsburgh Dental Medicine 21 or 22 years ago. Right after that, I went straight to VA hospital to do a GPR, general practice residency, and then spent 18 years working at the DSO office. There's ups and downs, I was able to launch my startup practice in May of this year. And we now have 7 staff members and an associate dentist who happened to be my daughter, who graduated 3 years ago.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Why a startup? And like, what kind of led you to choosing that path of a startup, if you would?
Absolutely. Actually, it was like by accident, but it kind of worked out perfect for me. I was, since COVID or a little bit before that, I was looking for a practice. I wanted to have my own practice. But of course, you know, you're always afraid, the unknown, right? What's going to happen, especially working in the same place for almost 18 years at that time, maybe 15, you get comfortable, but you don't know where to go from that. But I always wanted to grow. I want to have my own practice. And also when my daughter started dental school, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I have to do something. I have to have some kind of legacy to leave for her and to show her it's doable. It's mostly for myself. So I was looking for a startup or a buy-in. But there was not, you know, when I looked up to buy in a practice and I went to a different offices, it's just not what I was looking for. It's not the practice I was hoping for. And so I would start thinking about startup, because if I do a startup, I could focus on delivering, you know, personalized care, you know, with it for the patient. It will also reflect my values and my vision and my dream. And I can start from zero and build it up to that way. So that's how I got up to a startup. And I was, during COVID, I was looking for different things. And I knew I couldn't do it by myself. I was afraid. I didn't know where to start, where to go. I was looking at different consultants, including people from here, from Pittsburgh. And, you know, I came across an ideal practice and it just fit with my vision. And here we are.
Hey there, Startup Dentist podcast listeners. It's Stephen Trotter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200 plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. You're living it. You are absolutely living it.
Absolutely.
Of what you're doing. And to be able to have your daughter in there, you've like really done that. So what are you most proud of, like, at this stage of, like, okay, so you've been open for a few months. By the way, folks, she's doing very, very well. She doesn't work anywhere else. She's full-time in her practice. She's achieved some great awards. I would say, like, Dr. Rachel, you are humble, but, like, you have achieved a lot. So, like, you're on a fast growth trajectory, like, you know, within a short period of time in an area, like, it's competitive. There's a lot of other dentists there. Of those accomplishments, like, kind of thinking back, like, what are you most proud of? Like, even, like, are there things like community? Because you mentioned those words, like, you mentioned community, serving your patients. Like, what makes you most proud today to be, like, a practice owner?
I honestly have to say, I really think we created the culture I was looking for the team, for the patient, and for myself. You know, honestly, it was so important to me. You know, working for someone else and having someone's view, vision wasn't for me. But I really think we have created, obviously things might change, you know, but I want to go back to, you know, the base and the dream and the view, you know, the values that I have. And I am proud with my team and my daughter and everybody that for creating that culture. Community is so important to me. This is actually the area that I started my practice, this around this area. It's called Squirrel Hill in Pittsburgh. And the DSO I worked with, I worked for many years, is a block or two away from here. It's like less than a block away. And when I first started, honestly, this community like embraced me, and I was able to build the patient. And you know, when we open this, the community has been celebrating and they're happy that we are here. And we have been really blessed to have them around here. But what do we do for a community? We're trying to do a lot of different things. You know, giving back is very important to us. But what I have been trying to do a little bit different, you know, we might change our vision a little bit different, how we are going to approach this. But I have been asking our team what is important to them. We have a team member that lost her father to suicide. And September, I think it was September, was a suicide awareness month.
Okay. Yep.
And we made sure that, you know, we were able to do some donation drive. And then our practice matched that. And we were able to donate money to that, you know, the, I don't remember the organization that was important to her. By doing that, we made sure that we put that out there for patient. You know, everybody that come in, we're like aware of it. We want to make sure that people are aware of this exists and helping others. And we tried to put it in our social media. It's like, these are the things that haven't been talked about. And she was gracious enough to share her story. So we were able to make awareness into the community and to organization that's important to her. And we had another team member that lost her dad for a very rare, you know, cancer. The same thing. They have like big fundraising event. We were able to donate money. And actually my husband and I went, we wanted to do the whole staff, but it didn't work out. But my husband and I went, we were able to participate in what they do and making it awareness to our patients. So we have a board that we always put what we do. Little things, the baseball team, if they need something, you know, we're trying to create that too. Right now we are doing Toys for Tots for this month for the, you know, for the kids, for the holidays. Yeah. And we're trying to include all different things, but in a smaller version, but that will impact the community.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember, like, we talked about that when we saw each other in Chicago. I remember your vision call, like community. And for everyone's listening, I would say, like, community is such a big part of Dr. Rachel's vision, but like, even I think so many dentists, there's always like this thing of like, you work for corporate dentistry, and I think there's a great opportunity there. Like when it's, there's systems and you kind of learn, but I always feel like, you know, so many of our clients have come through this path. There's like this other thing of like serving patients the way that you want.
Absolutely.
Have you found that the case in your own practice to be able to like clinically, like, and really do all those things? Is that
like every patient is different. Every patient is, it's like the treatment is personalized to that patient. And we want to know the patient too, as a family. That was my whole vision. Like, I want to make sure that the team felt like this is home. We felt like this is home, and patient felt like this is home. That is definitely very important. And that really was rewarding for me, having my own practice, that I have that vision, I have that value, that dream, and I want to make it that is personalized to the community too.
What things are working really well in shared practice? So I'll kind of say like marketing and things like that, because I think there's always people saying, by the way, there isn't one thing that works for every practice. I see this on social media posts a lot where people are like, hey, what's everybody doing for marketing, or what's doing, like, everybody's does something different, but to kind of like scratch the itch a little bit, because people will ask like, what has worked well for you? Like, what are some of those successes, and what have you found that's worked really well, to kind of maybe give those like a look behind the scenes of like, as a practice owner, one of the big fears is always, oh my gosh, how am I going to be able to get patients? Hello? Can I get patients?
Yeah. I lost a second, but
I think we lost a little bit of signal there. Yeah. This is not like, if everyone like, this is not time, but like Netflix, like not too long ago, had a problem with the boxing fight where the internet went down. So I don't think I had that kind of like, that many people that are on here. So I don't know what happened there, but what things are working for you? Like, kind of scratch the itch of those who are saying, okay, I hear Dr. Rachel, she's got these things. What has worked?
I have to say my journey is a little bit different. I have been practicing for a very long time in the same area. Yep. So these patients have followed. So when we open, honestly, at the beginning, my staff was so overwhelmed with the amount of new patient we were getting. So these are not new patient for me, but new patient to the office. So we literally had to outsource a different company to have insurance verification, because it was unreal, you know. But I have to say what worked for me is, like, I always have been myself. I always treated patient the way I wanted to be treated. I'm not saying it just to be corny or whatever. I'm dead. Like, I always did, whether, you know, I was in a DSO or anywhere else, this is me, this is what you get. And, you know, and I love the connection with the patient. So I honestly think that helped tremendously. And I always believe in, be yourself, do the right thing, and the money follows, or the patient, you know, follows. So a lot of, go ahead.
I know. I get that. Yeah. 100%. I think really, that's so really important to be true.
And it might take time, but it always works. I'm not saying that all our patients are raving about us. You know, you can't please everybody, but you know, you can't take everything. I'm teaching my daughter, who's younger than me, or I wouldn't say teaching. I'm like trying to mentor her. Like, when patients say, you know, oh, I want to see the older Eglash, or, you know, the older doctor. And I always say that it takes a while to build that, you know, name, and to build that, you know, you have to have that thick skin for a little bit, but it always worked out. I didn't start from having all this patient. I worked with zero patient when I started at the beginning, but you have to be patient. things has to work little at a time, but I always believe in being yourself, because no matter what, if you fake it, it's going to come out, right?
That's
So
right.
being yourself, treating people the way they need to be treated, and the money will follow.
Yeah, and I think being consistent is always a good thing. I think, being consistent in marketing, being consistent in messaging, being consistent in driving reviews within your practice, patient and those elements, you've got to like constantly do that. So it's not easy, obviously, like to get where you're at, but you've had that kind of growth. And you had one of the challenges I remember is like, ooh, lots of patients. How can we handle that growth? That's a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
But it's also a problem that it needs attention to make sure you have the systems underneath you. Your team has been such a great part of that. I think, how's that been? Because I think another big question is like, can I find really good people? How has that been for you in terms of finding the right people within your practice? Because that's probably one of the biggest questions that we get is, can I find good people? Have you had some, have there been challenges or twists and turns? Tell everybody like the good, the bad, and the ugly managing people. Everybody, I think, does the clinical part. Everyone's like, I know the clinical part, but like, how do I manage people? How? Yeah. Like, share that.
Absolutely. I have, luckily, people that I worked with previously followed me. So yep. That helped a lot. So not all of them. My office administrator, Dana, has been worked with me for many years. She was somewhere else. So that's the first person I called when I first thinking about it, because I know her strength. I always admired it. So that's the first person I called. And would you join me you want to grow with me? That's how it started.
Yeah.
That was her. And then I had our patient administrator, Nicole. We've been working in the same place for a very long time. And that's another person I approached. She joined the team. Yeah. I have one hygienist who's part-time 2 days a week who joined. I have worked with her, Valerie. I also did some little, can be kosher or non-kosher. I heard great things about this hygienist. And I DM'd her on Facebook and I say, hey, how are you doing? And then the rest is history. And these are the type of things I have done. My assistant also, I worked with her in a different office, so she was able to come in. We did hire another assistant I have worked before, and we had a very challenging time with her.
Yeah.
The team she did not join very well. And I had a rough time. I heard it from everybody. She was not open to criticism and stuff, different type of things. But, luckily we have an HR that is guiding us in different things. We document everything. And we were about to let her go, but we wanted her to sign something and she didn't want to sign it and she resigned.
Yeah.
And luckily 2 days after that, another assistant called us and she said, hey, I'm looking for a job. And it just fell in our hands. And she has been a great team player in our office.
I think that's a great insight, because I think for those that are listening, who you have from day one may not be there day 30, day 60.
Absolutely.
And you have to be adaptive to that, like in finding that right mix. I think the other thing that I think is awesome is that you mentioned how you found this hygienist through the social media channels. Folks, I think sometimes you have to find the people who may not be looking. Maybe that hygienist probably wasn't looking for a job. They probably had a great position. But I think the one thing is you need to present something. And I love how you said how you wanted these people along with your journey. I think it's important to understand that your success as a practice owner, yes, it's your hands and your skills. But without the team that represents you, whether it's at the front desk, in the treatment rooms, as from assistant or hygienist, having those people a part of your journey. I love how you portray that, because I think that's so important. I think you could be a boss or a leader. And like, I'll just say, like, Dr. Rachel, you're doing a great job being a leader. Bosses are people that tell people what to do. Leaders are followed. And you've been able to build that culture.
Absolutely.
And for those that are listening, it's so important that you have people that want to be a part of your journey, because you may not be able to pay them as much as what they're making at a DSO or maybe in another practice, but you need to be able to have something that's special that attracts them into your practice that you can share with them to say, hey, help me build something in this community. because we're all human. And I think that's beautiful, like, that they wanted to be a part of, like, I want to serve the community. And it wasn't just about a paycheck. And so you have to really find those right people. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
What's been the hardest part? Okay, so we could talk, like, you have, you don't work as an associate anymore. You have, we call it a Freedom Day. You have achieved great financial, you know, in a short period of time. You're on a great path. I've seen your 5-star reviews. Okay, what's been the hardest part?
I have to say the hardest part, not before, like before I opened the practice, is navigating the challenge of construction, dealing with the unknown. I don't do well with that.
A dentist that doesn't like control. Oh, really? I've never met one of those dentists, type A personality.
I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one.
you're in the norm.
And the unknown that comes with opening a startup. Am I going to have patients? Are patients going to follow me? That was the hardest time opening the practice, and not knowing decision making, you know, the finances and how much you spend. You have, like, you think you have a budget and you don't know where it's going to go. It was really, really challenging. And I will give you one thing. I don't know if you, and we talked about it, but you might not remember since you talked to all these people. I was like obsessed in getting this amazing building, and I wanted to lease it. And they have been like making me run around like crazy. And it took about 6 months, even doing like the letter of content. What do they call it? Letter of intent. Yeah.
Yep.
It took forever. And finally, we found out that they were going bankrupt. And I lost that building. That was the hardest time for me. And honestly, if it wasn't for Mike from Ideal Practices and the other guys that were helping me and Wallace, and I'm like, I'm done. I don't need this. I can work. I will be just fine. And I remember Mike saying, this is not your vision. We're going back to your vision, and let's look for something. But you know what? Going forward, I ended up buying 2 suites from 2 dentists and combined that and made it 1 beautiful office. So now I own the suite that I'm in, and we pay rent to myself. So sometimes things work in a different way, but, you know, just it taught me resilience, being adaptable, and, you know, the importance of, you know, the support system you have, like family, friends, and everything, because it was hard. Once we open, I have to say, I haven't had anything as hard as that one. So, like today, one of my hygienists came and she's like, oh, somebody in her family died and she had to leave on Tuesday and Wednesday. You know, it is what it is. She has to. I said, no, but she was like apologizing. I said, don't apologize. We called a couple of hygienists, and my daughter and I are going to see some of her patient, and we handled it. And she keeps saying that, you know, I'm so sorry. I said, this happens. We can't be, you know, these are the, and my daughter looked at me. She's like, why are you so calm about it? I'm like, what am I going to do? There's nothing you can do. I said, it could have been worse. And if we have to reschedule a patient, we do. But we had opening and we were able to do it. So
that's awesome.
I think the challenging part was at the beginning. But again, we're only 6 months into it. So ask me in 2 years, it might be different.
I think that's good insight, because startups aren't easy. If they were easy, everybody would do them. I had a vision call the other day, Rachel, and I remember the doctor's like, hey, I think he was kind of saying, hey, if I said, hey, there are big questions or big concerns that you have before we like jump into like really the meat of this discussion, this vision call, like you had one, we talked for 3 hours, lay everything out. He said, you know, timelines, construction, and making sure, like, you know, all these, you know, like, there's not issues. And I was like, how about I guarantee you there will be something of an issue. But it's about how do we navigate around that, because no one can foresee, like, hey, what's going to happen. Exactly. But I think that's great insight, because most dentists, I'll kind of like beat up on dentists, but I love y'all. It's like there is a control thing. You guys live in the world of millimeters. Everything is measured like into perfection. And there are things, like, especially when it comes to landlords in your case, or a building, or in those elements, that will have a massive effect on timelines. One of the biggest things with any startup is that has the biggest predictor or the biggest challenge of a timeline of a startup, which could be 12 months or 18 months or 2 years, is real estate. You found that out, like a building that was going bankrupt, you're waiting for 6 months. Those are things that no one can predict, but it's like, how do you navigate around those? And for those that are listening, like folks, like if you go down this path of a startup, there will be a bump. There could be two bumps. There could be three bumps. It's not about like, how do you predict them and prevent bumps? It's about how do you navigate around those bumps. And I think resiliency is key as a business owner. And I love the calmness that you have. Like somebody is going to leave your practice, a patient's going to leave, a team member is going to leave. It's like, okay, what's the plan? And is really staying in within yourself and not getting too high or too low within that scenario when it does arise. But I love that insight about like construction and like real estate, because that's, folks, this is real. This is coming from somebody who's gone through that. And yes, were we there to navigate it with her? 100%. But it happens and it will happen. It's not about like, can it prevent? It's like, just how do you navigate around that? But not lose the faith of that, because landlords are a funky bunch and buildings are a funky bunch. And most people think like, that building's been vacant for 6 months. They're dying to get me in. No, they're not. No. They're moving on their own timeline, and that timeline may not be yours. So that's really perfect perspective.
Absolutely.
If you're, I guess I'll kind of flip that. How has this changed your life? How has practice ownership changed your life and maybe for your family?
Yeah, it has been an experience. It absolutely gave me freedom and how I want to practice. The values, the views, like I keep saying that, but honestly, it matters, because you are practicing the way you want to practice. You're practicing, and then you're treating your staff member the way you want to be treated or how you want to treat them. Yeah. And I always wanted to have that, you know, family oriented. So when I go home, I feel like, you know, I fulfilled what I want to do. It might not be a busy day. I might not make that much money, or I did make, but it just feels so good to be able to have that freedom, to be able to experience the way you wanted to, you know, experience, and to surround yourself with the people that you picked and the people that you want to be around with. And that really has changed tremendously. I'm more focused. Excited. I come in the weekend sometimes and I walk around, I can't believe this is mine, you know, because awesome. I'm dead serious. I'm like, just like happy. Like, you know, when friends would call and want to come, and it's like, absolutely, we'll make sure we get you. And it's not like I have to ask someone else to do, you know, get a permission to do anything like that. So it is absolutely fulfilling for me. And also the biggest thing is to be able to give that, you know, for my daughter, to be able to give her that legacy, to be to have something in our name. I told her that if she get married, she can't change her last name.
The name stays the same.
It stays the same, right? But anyways, so for her to see me, even for my son, who's 26, to be able to see that I was able to do this. You know, at the beginning, I was afraid. It was really fear that held me. Not to do it, for them to be able to see I was afraid, I was very open about it, and I was able to achieve it, as I think it's a good legacy to leave your kids or somebody, young people. I do teach at Pitt too, at the dental school on Fridays. And I had some clubs that came into the office and be able to see. And at the end of the night, a couple of kids came, they're like, I was always afraid, but looking at this, I think I can do it. That's like exactly what you want to hear kids to say. And I'm very open about it. I want them to come in. I want them to shadow. I want them to be able to do it, because that's what I wanted when I was a student. So I want to make sure that they have the opportunity to do that. So it has changed me in a good way, in a positive way.
Yeah. And you took a leap, you know, but you also took a leap with like family obligations and, you know, and children and everything, you know. So for those that might be in that same position, it's like, if you have a plan and you execute to that plan and you continue to execute it, you can build it the right way.
Absolutely.
I guess I'll close out with this. What would you tell associates today? Like, or maybe like, what would you tell other Dr. Rachels, you know, that are like, oh, thinking about practice ownership from your perspective, kind of looking back, like, what would you tell them?
I say, go for it. fulfill your dream. Don't be afraid. Fear is fear. You know, when you're afraid, when you're anxious, you get anxious. You don't want to do your dream, but it's doable. It doesn't matter what time, you know, what, you know, the younger you are, honestly, it's the better. I mean, I did it the opposite way, but I had a family obligation, my kids, you know, growing up. And of course I was afraid. Can I do it? Absolutely. But I didn't know if I was going to stay in Pittsburgh. We didn't know what's going to happen, but it took COVID for me to push and to really sit deep down and say, this is exactly what I want. So for the younger listeners, or even the older, doesn't matter, like me, absolutely, if you have a dream, I will say, go for it. And there are a lot of kind people out there that can help you. There are a lot of consultant groups like Ideal Practices, if you want to do a startup, that can help you and, you know, guide you through it. And I say, if that is your dream and that's what you want to do, I'll say, absolutely, go for it. And I want to say one more thing because I want to add this. When I went through, I thought we were going to open in January. I didn't open till May. So between that time, I was able to see some patient. I think it was March, I think. There is an incredible orthodontist right above me in my building. And that is actually what sealed it for me that I wanted to stay in this building. He opened the door for me and he said, whenever I'm not here, he wasn't there 2 days a week. And he opened the door and said, use our office. He was very excited. I was very excited. It's the orthodontist that I have been working with. His name is Dave Pachersky. And he was incredible. And they, the staff and everybody was great. And they opened the door. I was able to practice there on the days they weren't there. And no question asked. And there are kind people out there that are willing to help you. So I will say, go for it. And be kind to other people too. I can't wait till someone to come and they need help and I want to do the same thing to them.
So
that is important.
Yeah, I think it's, you touched on a number of things there. I think fear, and I've talked about this before, like fear can do two things for you. It can either make you clam up and do nothing, or the fear can like propel you to take action, because it's like, it's more of a, sometimes we fear and we cower in fear and we can do nothing. We freeze or we can take action. So like for those that are listening, like you can either do two things, like do nothing. And we're coming upon, like, I'll just say this, like we are coming upon the end of another year. Like 2024 is coming to the end. So for those that have been sitting around maybe for the last 11 and a half months going, man, I'm wanting to own a practice. I just don't know when the perfect time is. Folks, I thought there isn't a perfect time. There is the time, but have a plan. Have a plan of like getting to that next level. So
yeah, do your homework, you know, be true to your, you know, values and views. And that helps. And if you're working for a DSO or private practice, learn everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, you said.
100%.
I honestly learn a lot and what not to do. And I promise I won't do it.
we do both. We learn from our experience of what we want to have and what we don't want to have. So I love it. I love it.
Yep.
Well, Dr. Rachel, thank you for joining the Startup Dentist podcast. I appreciate it. For those that want to hear more about her stories and things like that, I would tell you this, like we have a course that's coming up in April. It's called Startup Practice Blueprint. You can register at startuppracticeblueprint.com. We have anywhere between 24, about two dozen associates that come to this great, awesome meeting where you get to interact with other associates thinking about taking the plunge. You learn from industry experts over 2 days. We feed you with a fire hose of information. If you want to learn more about like stories like Dr. Rachel's story and learn to the systems that has got her to this place, check out startuppracticeblueprint.com. Register for our next event. Next event is going to be in April. Dr. Rachel, thank you for joining our podcast. That's going to be great.
You.
So, all right, folks, that's a wrap. Don't forget to check the show notes for any and all links and resources we talked about today. Next time, we're going to dive into the topic of the pros and cons of a partnership when it comes to practice ownership. And I'm going to lay out these great things. So if you got a friend and you're thinking about becoming partners, don't do it just yet until you listen. So tune in then. Thanks, everybody. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.